Piano tuned. Yeah. Well, what an amazingly rich time we had today. I mean, I wish all Messianic congregations were like this. You just start, you keep going until it's time to eat or something, you know? Yeah. Yeah, well, my history in the Messianic movement goes back to 81. And I know a lot of your faces from those days, and so many familiar people have come out today. I'm really blessed that you made the effort to come out and hear what I have to say. I really agree with the words that King David wrote. He said, I've been young. I'm not old. Older. I've been young and I'm older now, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging for bread. I can testify to you that this is our life. God has provided from the beginning up until today abundantly and richly. There have been some lean times, but it's never been that we've been without. Hallelujah. When we made Aliyah 17 years ago, we didn't know what we were going to do. We just knew that we were supposed to go. Just like God said, Abraham, leave your country, and I'll show you what you're supposed to do. That is exactly what happened to us. I was sitting in a building. The Holy Spirit gave me a word. And some of you have heard this story before. Get your house in order. Begin to learn the language of your fathers. I'm going ahead to prepare your way. And that was it. So we just started to pray, take steps forward. And in 1996, there we were. And I have a couple items I brought with me I want to show you. Some of you might remember the TV show called The Honeymooners. You remember Audrey Meadows? This looks just like her, doesn't it? Eitan, most of you know him as Andrew, just published this book. It's called What About Us? I have a whole box of them. And it's the end time calling of Gentiles in Israel's revival. It's very good. I really encourage you to pick up a copy. It'll bless you. And brought some very nice calendars, beautiful pictures of Jerusalem and environs. And this is Elias's music CD. Many of you know my son. He produced a CD in Hebrew, and he's working on another one. It should be out maybe sometime next year. This is all in Hebrew, so if you need translation, ask Dahlia. She can help you. And some of you know the Morrison family, Judah and Jennifer, who live in Sacramento at the moment. They've made a brand new recording of original songs. This is mostly Hebrew and a little bit of English. And Paul was involved in the production of it. It's very good quality recording of Hebrew songs. And a lot of them are already in use in worship in the congregations in the land already. Okay. And when I was here last time, I had a CD was called Israel's Hope. Well, this preceded Israel's Hope, called Yes and Amen. This was the original recording that became when it was taken up by Galilee of the Nations Music. The music is the same. It's just a different package, and inside there's pictures of my history from my grandfather to Leah and I getting married and Elias being born and a lot of stuff in between. So, and last but not least is the brochure describing Tents of Mercy. Some of you may or may not have read or gotten this or know much about Tents of Mercy. It was started from a vision that God gave to Eitan. He and I, Jerry Miller, who was just here, and Dan were at the old office building on Deer Park Road at an early morning prayer time, And we're just praying and interceding, and Eitan gets this picture of an oasis with palm trees. And that became what is now Tents of Mercy with home base and four related congregations, all dedicated to bringing the word of God to our people over there in Israel and providing for their needs. We have big warehouses, humanitarian aid, and it's a real blessing. Now, I had a visitation. I want to tell you some dreams and visions that I've had. When I was 13 years old, I was just learning how to play the guitar, sitting in my room, and suddenly there was somebody there with me. I didn't see anybody. I just knew that there was somebody there. And this presence was there. I didn't feel scared. It was very peaceful. So I think it was the Lord. And after about a minute or so, his presence was gone. But in my mind was, this is part of your destiny, what I was doing. I didn't understand what that was. It's just a thought. My destiny was sitting with an acoustic guitar was my destiny. All right. Yeah. So, but from that moment on, something exploded inside of me, and I relentlessly would practice the instrument hours and hours and hours a day. And I went out and began to play professionally, traveling around, up and down the East Coast, doing the whole bar nightclub stuff. I wound up in Rockville. Anybody know where Rockville is? And I was playing at a pizza place called Armand's Chicago Pizzeria. Hey, this is a local story. Everybody can relate to this. So over there in the corner was a young lady and her friends having dinner. And she was like a light bulb in a dark room. So she comes up to me afterwards and starts to talk and says, I have a friend of mine I want to introduce you to. I said, okay, who's that? Jesus. Okay, well, I've heard about him. You see, when I was a little boy, I had interactions with believers from my childhood, not knowing that each time something was deposited in me. When I was five, my parents, we used to go to Atlantic City, and that's when they had a nice boardwalk, and it was a family place. So one time, we're on the boardwalk, and these two people walk up to my mom and dad, and they're talking to them about him being the Messiah. And I'm listening. And that night they were talking about, well, they capitalized he in here. Why did they do that for and all that? So the next day on the beach, I asked my mom, Mom, those people were talking to you about somebody last night. Jesus, who is that? And she said, oh, he was a Jew, lived in Israel a long time ago, and he is the God of the Gentiles. I said, all right. So I come to be a believer, and I'm reading in Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, why don't you open up real quick to Luke chapter 2. A very wonderful passage which prophetically talks about a twofold purpose for the coming of the Messiah. It's the account of Simeon. Starting in verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Wait a minute. I thought that only happened in our day. The new covenant came in. The Holy Spirit came upon him. No, the Holy Spirit comes upon people before, during, and after the new covenant. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So he came in by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Yeshua to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, blessed God, and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of the people. And here, what's what my mom told me. A light of revelation to the Gentiles. That's what my mom told me. But that wasn't the whole story. And the glory of your people, Israel. Yeshua is the glory of our people, Israel. for unto us, the us is the Jewish people, that child was born. Unto us the son was given, and his name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the extent of his government there would be no end. Unto us. Hallelujah. And in the book of Amos, at the 9th chapter, turn over there, jump over to Amos chapter 9. Oh, you've got tabs in here. That makes it very nice. Wow. Let me see. Amos. Ah, there he is. Yeah. Wow. Right to it. Okay, so I came into the kingdom of God as a result of this encounter in the pizza parlor. And any of you know Greg Zetz, King of the Nations? He was sitting on the right aisle at Halpine that morning, drunk, with a hangover. I was sitting on the left aisle with my sex, drugs, and rock and roll history. And the message finished. There was an invitation to the front, and he came down, and I came down. And he was set free of drinking on the spot from that point forth, and that was 1981, April 12th. And I came down, and I was set free of a number of things related to the sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and have never been the same since then. Hallelujah. Now, the Armand's encounter connects with something that happened in 1971. I was living in Pennsylvania. I moved to Maryland. I was hitchhiking one day with a beard down to here and a ponytail down to here and my hippie jeans and with all the patches and everything. And the guy who gave me a ride right off the bat started to tell me that God heals people. I said, oh, okay. And he says, there's something wrong with you? What do you mean by that? Something physically I can pray for you. Well, sure enough, I was born with a short leg. My back was bothering me constantly. He said, great, why don't you come with me? We'll pray for you and see if God will heal you. So I went to his house. His family gathered around me. They put their hands on me, and they started praying in this funny-sounding language. And I didn't feel anything happen. I stood up, and the pain was gone. And from that day until today, it's never returned. I'm totally healed. It's really important for all of us to hear testimonies of what God does to heal people. Because if we don't believe it, our unbelief hinders from happening. How many times did Yeshua minister to somebody and he said, be it done unto you according to how you believe, according to your faith? There is an element of truth that we need to be expecting to receive because God's ready to give. And the transaction is more likely to take place. Hallelujah. Okay, so it's a couple little disjointed pieces, okay, from 1971 to 81. It was 10 more years of playing rock music. 1981 in the springtime, I came into the kingdom of God. And Keith Intrader, Asher, visited my apartment. He said, we need to do some house cleaning. So we spent the day in my house going through all my books and recordings and tapes and everything else in the house, and we threw out about half of my apartment. I sold all my instruments because they were all connected to my history. And he said, listen, this is for your good. We need to make a clean break from the life you lived in order to get fully into the life God wants you to have. And I said, what kind of life does he want me to have? He said, don't worry, he'll show you. Father knows best. The way you find out what your destiny is to disconnect from the old, get fully into the new, and give your life over into the hands of God. That's really the only way you're going to know what his plan and what his purpose is for you. I didn't know that Israel's hope would come to be. I didn't know Israel was in the future. I didn't know I was going to be married and have a son. Now he's married. We have two beautiful grandchildren. This was all, at that time, non-existent. But God had a plan and a purpose. And I found out about it gradually and slowly as I took time to seek his face with prayer worship. That's the key to the prophetic future of your life. Spending time with the Holy One in worship, like you did today. Hours. Not just when you come here on Shabbat, during the week. Find some time. Open your word and read systematically through it. Ask him questions. He likes to hear your voice. You may not think you got a nice voice. He loves your voice. He loves to hear you say, Abba, Dad, Father, I have this question. What do you think about this? What do you think I should do here? And he's got all the answers you need. I mean, it's all over the word. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. When God says, I will, that's an unconditional promise. He said to Abraham, I will bless you. I will give you the land. I will do this, that, and the other thing. Now, if it says, if you do this, I'll do that, that's a different story. But God does make unconditional promises that he says, I'm going to do this for you, whether you like it or not. And usually, if you're receptive, you'll like it. Okay, so 1981, I came into the kingdom, never wrote a song in my whole life. I wanted to, but never did. And as a result of just giving it all up, turning over to him my whole history as a musician, that was my identity as a person. I was a musician. That had to die. And it did. It took about a year or so for it to totally die inside of me. There was nothing compelling me or motivating me to play, to participate. I was in the worship team a little bit at Bethlehem, and I said, no, I just can't do this. It's not working. So Joe Miller, who was leading it at the time, was very wise. She said, all right, you know, take whatever time you need to get things worked out. Okay, so after there was nothing compelling me, suddenly I felt this little stirring inside. And I picked up David Shishkoff's Sears Silvertone cheap guitar, sat down, and I started to pluck a little bit nervously. And what came out was, we sang it today, Oh Give Thanks to the Lord. That was the very first song. So a couple days later, another one, Come Let Us Go Up. Couple days later, He Shall Reign Over All the Earth. Couple days later, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. And it just was like this flood of songs. And I'm writing this stuff down, and I'm saying, wow, this is really cool. I never wrote songs before. And shortly thereafter, a young man came in from the Midwest, and he was Paul Wilbur. And Paul and I became very good friends, and we met at his house, and we played some music together. And he said, brother, I think we're going to be working together for a while. And it turned out that Israel's Hope was birthed there. Rene Bloch came in from California. He was on his way to Israel. He came with a U-Haul with his mom and their little dog in tow. And they just stopped in just to say hello. And he sat in with us, and he said, well, maybe I'll put it off for a little while. And he put it off for a while. And Israel's Hope was born. We started to get all this music. Paul wrote a lot of terrific songs. Shalom, Jerusalem. It is good. The Lord is my shepherd. You know all of them. They're still actively being used all over the world, Messianic congregations everywhere. This is an amazing thing to me that the music from 30-plus years ago didn't just die out. It's still inspired and being used everywhere you go in Messianic congregations. You'll hear one of those songs from the Israel's Hope days. Glory to God. He did it. It's to his glory. I didn't make it happen. We just kind of plucked around and sang and went here and there. And eventually, we made two recordings. You probably have both of them. Introducing Israel's Hope and Arise, O Lord. Arise, O Lord had a Dove nomination in the year that it was released. We went to Nashville. We're meeting Amy Grant and Steve Green and Michael W. Smith. And we're sitting there hoping that they'll call us up to give us the award. And they didn't. So we came back, and there was a mock Dove Awards waiting for us. We came back home with a birdcage made of paper mache or whatever that stuff is. And the whole congregation did a mock Dove Awards called the Bird Brain Awards. It was very funny. And some of the prizes, I don't want to tell you what they did. So time goes on. Israel's Hope concludes its ministry around 1990. Paul went to Chicago. I took over the leadership at the Beth Messiah. And during that 5 years before we moved is when that word that I just told you about get your house in order, came. So we go over to Israel, and we're meeting people and seeing what's happening, and came back, and we just felt, yeah, for sure, this is really our future. But we didn't know when it was going to happen. So I read in the book of Amos. Are you still there in Amos? Chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. This became the living Bible edition to me when I read it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel, and they will build the waste cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They will make gardens and eat the fruit from them. And I will plant them in their land. No longer shall they be pulled up from the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. This was a word clearly to us. It was time to go. So we went. In 1995, we left, not suddenly. It was really interesting because I was leading the worship at Beth Messiah, leading the worship at Halpine, because we met in their building. And I felt a responsibility to work with a couple of people that could take my place, at least for the time being. So God brought in a person for Beth Messiah, which turned out to be Brian, and another guy at Halpine that had experience and had been a member there one time. So it worked out. They came in. They did it. Everybody sent me off. And here we go. A new life in the land of our fathers, just like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Learn the language of your fathers. Now, to me, that spoke volumes because I have no way to trace my lineage that far back. But the term, the language of your fathers, gives me an indication that there's probably a long line going way back, possibly even to the tribes when they lived in the land. I don't know that for sure. And so we started to learn. We arrived, got a one-way ticket on an airline. It wasn't El Al. It was the Finnish Airlines. So we arrived, and Eitan met us at the airport, Andrew, and our life in Israel began. We didn't know Hebrew. We didn't know what we were going to do. I had an idea about an audio services company, which I started about a year later. Boy, I'll tell you, if you want to live in a competitive country for business, Israel is the most competitive country on earth. I mean, it's amazing. I read a statistic that Israelis that come to the States are usually very successful because they have this chutzpah and push to make things happen. And that's the way it is over there. I'm not this way. How much does it cost? All right. You know, I don't haggle. But I just had this thing about I needed to work. You know, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians to work with your hands as he did. He was a tent maker, and he didn't want to be a burden on anybody. This was in my heart. I got that word also, to work with my hands so I wouldn't be a burden on anybody. Okay, so we're in Israel. We're coming into this newfound little baby fellowship called Tents of Mercy. First meeting, Leah and I come in. We sat kind of halfway through. And I looked at her and I said, they want me to be part of the worship here? This is going to be impossible. It was totally in Hebrew. I didn't know Hebrew. The musicians couldn't play together. They didn't sing good. And I was going to be the one to develop the worship team. I said, okay, well, I got time. I'll take a year, learn Hebrew, stay out of things, just be there. So I bought a bass guitar, and I came in as the bass player for a while. It wasn't a fretless bass, but it works. And I learned Hebrew partially due to the songs. If you want to learn a language, if you learn the songs of the country, that really helps. And I've learned some of the songs in Russian also. We have about 80% Russian people in our congregation. And I'll tell you, when I first started singing some of these songs in Russian, the gold flashed. You know what I mean? Everybody, you know, they have a lot of gold teeth over there. I don't know why the Russian people like to have gold teeth instead of, you know, enamel, but they were smiling and the gold was flashing everywhere, and they really appreciated the fact that I took the time to learn their language. And my impression of Russians was Nikita Khrushchev banging his shoe on the table at the United Nations. You remember that? Some of you are too young to remember that. We will bury you, you know. It was during that whole time. That's the way I thought Russians were. Gruff and rough and criminal, da-da-da-da-da. But I found out exactly the opposite. They're lovely, they're sweet, intelligent, very smart, and very accepting. But they have a remnant of the communism, which is a problem. And my wife and I have been studying with three different ministries, teaching us how to minister healing for people that have gone through stuff like this. One of them is called LL Ministries, based out of England. It's a prayer ministry with a focus on deliverance leading to healing. And the other one, there's a guy named Henry Wright, who's out of Georgia, who has studied a lot of case histories of people that when they were brought to a place where they saw their sin and repented, their sickness stopped. And it's not 100% of the time, but a large percentage of people, when they were brought to that place, if they see it, they repent, they forsake it, the sickness or disease will go away. It's pretty amazing. And the other one is a ministry out of, I think it's North Carolina, it's called Grace Life Ministries, and their focus is to teach people how to live in the grace of God. Now, we have a very strong Messianic Jewish identity, and that was built while we were here. Now, living a Jewish life in Israel is not that hard, because it's a Jewish state. So you don't have to force yourself to act or talk or be Jewish, although there's a lot of pressure to give up our Messianic faith, especially from the ultra-religious. We're still targeted. We're still intimidated now and then. Our family was threatened with the revoking of our citizenship. We got a letter from the Interior Department saying, we're going to do this, and you have no recourse. So I went to a lawyer. I said, can they do that? And they said, only if they can prove that you falsified your information when you became citizens, which we didn't. So he said, there's no chance. They're just giving you a hard time. So from that point on, my Israeli passport was renewed 1 year at a time, 1 year extension, one after another. And that's the way it's been up until now. It's a minor, momentary light affliction. It's a little thorn. So it gives me a day out. I go on the bus. I go to the office. I sit there. I give them my passport. They give me a sticker. They say, have a nice day, and it's over. So that's it. But our son was 10 years old when we left. Many of you may have gone on this 1988 big tour to Israel that Sid's ministry sponsored. 1988 was a major invasion of Israel excuse me, by American Messianic Jews. We had about 2,000 people, I remember. So it was at that conference that I heard Barry Siegel. Anybody know Barry Siegel? Barry Batya? He did a seminar on Messianic Jewish Aliyah, and he threw dog biscuits at everybody. Hearts, ha'arts, ha'arts, Hearts Mountain dog biscuits. So I caught one. I said, I'm going to give this to you when we do this. And I did. So we came back from that conference knowing that it was our destiny. Can I get a little bottle of water maybe? Wow. Before I asked, there it was. So the blessing of the Lord has really come upon us and overtaken us in many ways. Our son was 10. Sid's ministry produced a little flyer after the conference with the banner. It said, we're here, we're home. And it had people coming off the LL flight. You know who is right front and center in the picture? Me and my wife and our son, front and center. The headline over us was, we're here, we're home. That, it was a prophetic word. Absolutely. So we're in Israel. Our son is now married. He's 26. He prayed with me after he was finished with the Army. If you're familiar with the Army service, boys do 3 years, girls do a year and a half or two. And he was in the military police. He's finished. He gets a grant from the government to use for educational purposes. And he doesn't know what direction to go in. So I said, well, I have a suggestion. Why don't we pray? Wow. What an awesome suggestion. So he knows very well one of the key scriptures for our family is trust in the Lord with all your heart, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your steps. So we prayed together, and he and I both had a real clear sense that he should go to music school. He had a gift to play and to sing. He was writing some songs. He was part of the first youth band among believers in Israel called Korban Chai. Judah Morrison, Rami Morrison, some other guys, and Ellie were the first youth band in Israel. And they have a recording. It's not published anymore, but they had a breakthrough group. Okay, so we prayed together. He made his decision. He enrolled in the school. He learned how to read music, how to write music, how to play piano, studio technology. So he moved out, and he moved to Tel Aviv and connected with Tiferet Yeshua, which is Ari and Shira Sokoram's congregation. Ron Cantor heads it up now. So they asked him to be the resident manager of their guest apartment. He could live there for free. He'd go to school. We give him a little stipend for spending money. And they offered to pay his second year tuition. So here's the blessings, you know, one thing after another. And it just so happens that the woman he's married to was on staff at the congregation. So they met each other, and they fell in love, got married, and now have two little girls. So it's like dominoes, you know. You don't know what to do. You ask God, he gives you a leading, you follow his leading, and boom, 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 all this stuff starts to happen. I really want to encourage you. If you're at a place where you're not quite sure, you need to make some type of decision, which way to go. And it's going to affect your life. Pray and ask the Lord to show you what to do. And don't make a decision until you hear something where you have a clarity or a peace. Okay, so that happened. They had their first child. They're living in Ramat Gan, an apartment that's about as small as this corner of the room, and paying an incredible amount of money. And they had a sense that things were closing up in Tel Aviv. And what was the next step? So what did we do? Exactly. This is what I do more and more there now. It used to be just the worship ministry, but now there's morning prayer and intercession that I lead every morning for an hour or two. It's an open session for whoever wants to come. And every Thursday night, we have prayer and intercession. This is what I'm sensing the Lord is leading me into at this season of life. For the time, you know, it was the new birth, the growth, the Israel's hope, and then Israel, and then the congregation. And now there's this another season coming along, which is more focused towards the prophetic and the prayer and the ministry. We have so many amazing things happening at these morning prayer meetings. We just come together, we worship the Lord, and God leads and speaks and does all kinds of cool stuff. I had a prophetic word about cyber warfare during one of those times. What's cyber warfare? This is like 3 years ago. This is before it was headline news. And now there's sections of the government all over the world. The United States has a cyber sector as part of the military. The Israel military, the government, has cyber sections that they're developing technology to protect the infrastructure. Can you imagine what it would be like if one of the enemy countries wants to destroy Israel got into the military computer systems and disrupted it? I mean, it would be catastrophic. So that's what we've been, things like that happen. We get a word about cyber warfare, and we're just praying regularly about stuff like this. Okay, so I've been asked to lead worship at an annual prayer conference that goes on in January in Jerusalem. Lance Lambert is part of it. Derek Prince used to be a part of it. Chuck Cohen and Eliyahu Ben-Chaim and other people. These people are are very deep prayer people, intercession. They study it. They understand it. It's an education for me every time I go there. And I'm really blessed that they asked me to lead the worship there. And this is an annual event coming up at the end of January. I look forward to this. Like, it's like food and drink to me when I go there. It's pretty amazing. So here we are. We're living in the land. And you probably heard about our couple attacks we've had. You know, when we were first established, after 3 years, we were firebombed. Somebody, we suspect it's Yad Lachim, but we don't know for sure. Yad Lachim is an anti-Messianic Jewish, Orthodox Jewish organization that seeks to give us a hard time so they could push us out of the country. But they're not winning. They're losing. So anyway, somebody climbed up on the roof, cut the roof open, and firebombed our building and destroyed the whole place. And it was suggested that we put a target on the next place because the results of the firebombing caused us to have such tremendous growth that we've tripled in size from that time. Hallelujah. And right across the alleyway was a building that was being constructed. So we rented the second floor, half of it. And then we felt like the Lord wanted us to take a step of faith and buy it. And that's not an easy thing to do over there, especially with owners that don't like you and would rather you not be there. But the favor of the Lord was there for us. And there were a number of contributions made, and one congregation in Texas in particular put us over the line. They loaned us 85% or so of what it took to buy the place. And the payback was part of their monthly contribution. We take a portion of what they were giving us and give it back to them. It's paid off. So we own the building. It's a double warehouse facility full of food and clothing and humanitarian aid. The blessings of God have come upon us and overtaken us. And it's all connected to believing what God says, finding out what His will is, what His plan is, submitting to Him, giving Him the glory for it, and seeking His face. All of you have a destiny. All of you have a purpose. You were not born with no purpose in mind. And the way to know what that purpose is to set your mind firmly to seek the one who caused you to have the purpose. He knows the plans and the purpose I have for you, He said in Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, for your welfare, to do good, and not destruction. God is a good God. And if you give your life into His hands, your life will have that good reflected in it. That's the best encouragement I can say to you. I mean, over the span of my life, from childhood until today, until I came to know the Lord, I didn't understand where the good things were coming from. But now I do. Because God is good. He's faithful. If He said it, He will do it. He keeps His word. He promised Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And we're seeing the outworking of that all around us in Israel. You look at Syria, you look at Lebanon, you look at Egypt and other countries. They are in terrible shape. Infrastructure falling apart, civil war, I mean, you name it, it's terrible. And Israel has taken in some Syrian refugees to give them aid in the hospitals. I mean, people talk about Israel in a very negative way. Israel is a country very willing to live openly and give aid to those in need. Israel was one of the first countries that sent help to the Philippines after the big typhoon. I mean, it's just amazing that we really get a bad rap. But I'm here because I want to give you good news. Israel will forever be. And it's never going to be eradicated as long as there's the sun and the moon and the stars. I know I'm preaching to the choir and you know all these things, but it's good to hear it from somebody who's lived there and I've seen it, and it's a fact of the matter. Do you know Israel by name is mentioned over 2,000 times in the Tanakh? And it always refers to either Jacob, the sons of Jacob, or the land. There's never an inference that it's referring to anything else. It's always the people of God, the people of Israel, or the land. In the New Covenant, Israel is mentioned more than 70 times, and it's always talking about the people of Israel, the Jewish people, or the land. The whole Bible, from stem to stern, from beginning to finish, doesn't have anything to say that God has forsaken his people, will forsake his people, and there's no purpose or plan anymore. Some people around us have said, Israel's history is 65 years and that's it. There's no history before that. Well, I don't know what they're reading. Where they're getting. Some people say the Holocaust never happened. In our neck of the woods. I mean, there's people everywhere that say that. But people in leadership of countries that say it never happened. How can they possibly believe such a thing? There's such a realm of deception in the world today. And the Bible talks about times of deception upon the earth. That if it was possible to fool the elect, it's going to be so intense. So we need to be very careful. We need to stay close to the Lord. Stay in the Word. Don't forsake times of praying. If you have an opportunity to pray and have fellowship, don't avoid it. Participate. Be in the presence of God. That's where the revelation comes. That's where the safety is. That's where the understanding of his will and his plan are. It's only in his presence because he's the revelator. If you want to know what's happening, you have to go to him. You can't guess. Guessing gets you nowhere. Knowing from him is how you're going to find out. So let's pray. Let's pray for the people, the country. Abba, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for your promises that you made to the seed of Abraham, that there would always be a people of Israel as long as the heavens exist. And even with all the pressure that is mounted to eradicate and destroy and eliminate your people, your promises are true. You said we would never be uprooted. You said, I will take you from among the nations and gather you from among the people. Lord, your word is true. You're faithful. And even though we're weak, you're strong. Lord, your strength is made manifest in our weakness. Lord, we want to decide, even today, whose report we're going to believe. We're going to believe what you said. We're going to live by your standards as you enable us by your Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Lord, strengthen each one of us to live the life of holiness and righteousness that you've called us to. It's a clean life. It's a good way to live. Living holy is good. It's like nothing else. Lord, your people want to know how to live right. And we're asking you today to encourage and impart and empower your people today. Hallelujah, Father. Lord, in this congregation, use Ahavat Yeshua and its members as lights in darkness. Lord, there's a lot of darkness in Washington, D.C. There's a lot of darkness in this whole region. Lord, this congregation, fire it up. Make the light shine really bright. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. That sounds of joy and laughter will be coming from the righteous of the Lord. When we walk down the street, Lord God, they'll see brightness. They'll see light. They'll be drawn and ask, who are you? How did you be this way? Don't you know what's happening? Yeah, I know what's happening. God is in control. He's Lord. He's risen from the dead. Yeshua is alive. Hallelujah. Let that be our testimony, Lord, that Yeshua, the Messiah, lives. And he's still actively doing all kinds of wonderful things today. Hallelujah. Father, we also want to pray for the body of believers over there in the land that has grown dramatically over the last years. There's persecution, Father, but Lord, we know that the pressure causes people to stand firmer and stronger in their faith. So, Abba, we lift up every existing congregation, every gathering of believers, everyone that has called upon your name and received eternal life. Lord, we call upon you to stoke the fire and cause the light to shine very brightly in the land. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in the name of Yeshua. I have a testimony I want to share that I think will encourage you. At the prayer conference that I mentioned a few years ago, there was an Orthodox man that walked in during the evening meeting and went around and sat down in the back. And afterwards, he came up to the speaker and talked a little bit, and then he left. So the next day at breakfast, I asked who the guy was. I mean, he was, you know, black hat, payas, tzitzit, the whole ultra-Orthodox deal. So he said, yeah, this guy's a rabbi who lives in Mea Shearim. And he said there's a small group of these rabbis that had a revelation of the Holy Spirit who the Messiah was. And the Lord told him, stay in the community and just pray for that revelation to spread. And that's what they're doing. I mean, I saw this guy with my own eyes. So be encouraged. There's stuff like this going on, even though it's not front page news. It's happening. It's really happening strong. I want to finish off with one more song, if I could. And this was a request from our sister. Oh, for the kids. Okay, well, we have two CDs of our worship team in Israel. And this song that I'm going to sing comes off one of them. It's the words of Psalm 92. It is good to praise the Lord in Hebrew. And it's got a Middle Eastern flavor about it. And Dahlia had written to me, well, a couple months ago, I think, and said, she's teaching it to the kids. Could we do this? And we're going to do it. Amen. Amen.